rod. Have a crown today. We're going to break with tradition just because we've got a baby shower in there and have a little kids talk. That's where I'm looking like an idiot because that's mandatory when you're having a kids talk. I had to ask lots of people not to sit here so that the kids could sit here. Do you want to come and sit here? Any kids? But no pressure. You can keep playing with blocks or kicking balls. Do you want to come, Kitty? Kitty has Sleeping Queens. If anyone would like to play that with her later on, you're welcome to. It's a great game. So we're going to look at a story. It's one of 100 classic stories. Do you know it? Know this one? No? Don't have it at home? They're classic. There's 100 of them. So you don't really need anything else aside from the Bible. And this is the story we're looking at. The Emperor's New Clothes. Does anyone know who... So what I'll do, the rules of engagement are, we'll let the kids have a crack at the questions before the adults shout out, okay? So try not to shout out over the kids. So does anyone know who wears a crown? King? Queens? Sleeping Queens? Anyone else wear a crown? Do you have a crown? What kind of crown? A paper crown. Beautiful. Also, emperors that are basically just kings as well. Oh, you said emperors. Sorry, I missed that, Tilly. So I'm going to crowdsource the story then rather than tell it. Let's start with a question about the picture. So the guy with the crown, I guess that's the emperor. Why is he wearing no clothes?
Because two people tricked him.
Two people tricked him. That's right. Anyone remember how they tricked him?
They said that he had invisible clothes.
Oh, yeah. So did they say the clothes were invisible? Oh, okay. I think they said everyone could see them except for...
A fool or an idiot.
Fool or an idiot. Only fools or idiots couldn't see the clothes. And so they started making the clothes and the emperor sent his prime minister... Oh, the butler first, yeah. Who's the Prime Minister of Australia? Scott Morrison, very good. So from now on we'll say Prime Minister Scott Morrison in tribute to Sean McAuliffe. And so he sent Scott Morrison to have a look at the clothes. And what did Scott Morrison see? Did he see clothing? No, he didn't. But what did he say? Did he say, oh, there's nothing there? No, what did he say? How beautiful the clothes were. Yes, because he didn't want people to think he was an idiot. And so then the emperor went and the emperor did the same thing. Said, oh, they're beautiful. Yeah, I'm going to put them on. And so he went out into the streets, Hemi, looking like that. But there's a kid at the front pointing at the king with his thumb. And what's the kid saying? Anyone remember what the kid's saying? Really?
Why is he not wearing any clothes?
Why is he not wearing any clothes? No one else said that. There were hundreds of grown-ups out on the streets watching the king walk naked down the road, and no one said anything except for one little child that said, why is he not wearing any clothes? And then everyone started to say, all the other kids said, yeah, he's not wearing any clothes. And finally the grown-ups went, yeah, actually, yes. Oh, they said, you're an idiot to the kid. Yeah, but eventually they all realised that he wasn't wearing any clothes and the emperor got very embarrassed and went home. So my question for you is, why was it only a kid and none of the grown-ups that finally said he's not wearing any clothes?
The adults didn't want to be stupid or idiots.
Any other ideas?
Maybe the kid thought it's funny or he didn't hear about it.
Yeah, so maybe no one had told him about these clothes. Yeah. Anyone else got any ideas? Why was it a kid that was the first person to say, hang on just a second, this is a trick? Because kids are better. I think that's an excellent answer. So we're going to quickly look at another story. Ooh. This is a Jesus story. So Jesus, some of the grown-ups that followed him, they came up to Jesus and they said, who's going to be the most important person when you're a king? Who's going to be your prime minister, Scott Morrison? And Jesus said, well, if you want to be really important, you need to become like a kid. Easy for you, exactly. Not so easy for me. Was there something you wanted to say, Hemi?
He doesn't wear any clothes because he doesn't, I don't quite remember it.
But you are absolutely right. He's not wearing any clothes. So I've got one more question and then I will release you from the pressure of being in the goldfish bowl. Why would Jesus tell grown-ups that God wants them to change into kids? Seems a very strange thing to say. Kids are better? Any other? Kids are more joyful. That was Kitty's answer. That's an excellent answer.
I think kids have, in some ways, better ways of thinking in terms of doing stuff.
So Jesus wants grown-ups to have kids' ways of thinking?
Kids are usually more optimists than pessimists.
Kids are more optimistic? What do you think? Do you have any idea? What about you, Hemi? Why does God want us to be like a kid? Any idea?
Not wearing any clothes.
So true. So I don't think we can really top that. So let's reflect on the fact that God is not wearing any clothes while we have another cup of tea and coffee. So feel free to go over, have another cup of tea and coffee, and we will begin again in a few minutes. Thanks, kids.
I dressed up, nowhere to go. TV's on, no one's home. Look me up, I'm not there. Leave a message, show you.
Hello, hello. We're going to start again in a minute for the non-crown portion of my presentation. Thank you for your attention. Hello. Russell just caught me adding coffee to my gin. Never mind. Mm-hmm. Hello, everyone. I might start by praying for me in particular, but for all of us. Loving God, I thank you for this place. I thank you for the children in this place. I thank you for the grown-ups in this place. I thank you that this is a place where multiple generations of people meet together in community, and that pretty much never happens anymore in this culture. So it's such a privilege to be a part of something like this. And we pray as we talk about the Holy Spirit, I pray that we might remember that things as simple as the fact that three, four generations of people are meeting in one space is a tribute to the power and work of the Holy Spirit in this place. So we thank you for that. And we ask you to be with us this morning because we know that you are. Amen. I'm going to start crowdsourcing sermons. It's much easier just to put up slides and ask you what they mean than actually talk. As I said, we're in the last few weeks, last month of a very long series on the Holy Spirit. And my job this morning is a very quick pricey and then to tell you what we're doing for the last month and then to give you an example of what that might look like. It will involve a table. I thought you'd be pleased to know. The Holy Spirit loves tables, diagrams, any graphs. So the Holy Spirit will be very excited when we get to that. But first, just a quick summary of where we've been. So we started, as you will remember, if you were here a long time ago, we started with some questions that we asked ourselves and each other about our experience of the Holy Spirit. Talked about the way the Holy Spirit has been described to us, the kinds of experience we've had of the Holy Spirit, questions that we want to discuss, hopes we have, phrases that really trigger us. Got people at the front to answer those questions, but we also got people sending in emails. So it was a lot of gathering information. We also talked about roadblocks, places where we feel stuck when it comes to the Holy Spirit, and also hopes that we have for the series. And we collected all of that together, and these were some of the roadblocks, the stuck places that people had at the beginning of the series. For some, it was just that they had no experience of the Holy Spirit. So it was like an absence of any sense of experience of the Holy Spirit. Others were traumatized by too many experiences, freaked out by what they had experienced, traumatized by the way power had been used, burnt out by the intensity of some of the environments they'd been in, and struggling to think what a healthy relationship to the Spirit might look like. Others were confused. They didn't know, what's the Spirit? What's just me? Others were just stuck. They wanted to have a healthier relationship with the Holy Spirit, but didn't know how to start that journey. Some people were unsure of whether the Holy Spirit really was just for extroverts, didn't know what the Holy Spirit did. But there were some of us for whom their relationship with the Holy Spirit was good and simple and clear and healthy, and they experienced a bit of frustration that we didn't just get on with doing Holy Spirit things without having to talk about it so much. And these are some of the questions that we had. Knowing what's genuine, what's fake, what's baby, what's bathwater. And how we reconcile the kind of heightened experiences to the mundane, everyday life-type experiences. What do we do with the weird stuff? How do we reconcile it with the normal stuff? And just how do we connect with the Holy Spirit? And this is the vision that people had, the hopes that they had. And it's interesting as we look at this just to think about whether we've achieved this, yeah? Whether we have actually managed to find our way to the place that we hoped to find our way to. What questions and what difficulties still remain for you? People really wanted to move beyond the individualistic kind of experience of the Holy Spirit to things that are more about the interpersonal, the collective, looking at the Holy Spirit in terms of systems and communities rather than just my individual experience. People wanted to move from a cynical and fearful place to something more positive again, something more inspiring. And people were interested in the mystical dimension of the Holy Spirit, a more embodied sense of the Holy Spirit. So it's wonderful to hear Daff talk about her experience of this community and the being exposed to the mystical and how that's been such a transformative experience for her. So what we're going to do in November is, and I'll post all of this stuff up again on Facebook, and I'll maybe send co-creators an email. I want us just to reflect on those questions, reflect on where we found ourselves at the beginning of the series, reflect on the hopes that we had, and everything that we've done in the series, and think about where you are now with the Holy Spirit. What has shifted, what difficulties and questions remain, and particularly think about things that you might be willing to share with the community about those reflections, whether there are practices that you have started to incorporate into your life that have allowed a deeper connection with the Holy Spirit, whether there are things that we might do collectively after this series that you think are a kind of logical extension of what we've explored and what we understand the Holy Spirit's work to be. So I guess I want you to reflect on that. We've got Breakfast Church next week. So you've got 2 weeks to have a think. And if you're interested in talking about some stuff, you can get in contact with us, email me or email Shane or email Tamsin. Or there will be times during some of the November services where people can just offer things as we hand the microphone around. So it doesn't have to be a formal thing. But yeah, I just want to invite you to reflect on the series. It's easy for us to kind of drift from week to week and get individual things from each week. And for a lot of us, that's almost all we can manage. But it is good sometimes to think back on what we've been doing for a while and look at our journals and see what's changed. See what's changed for us, if anything. So I guess what I want to do now is just to suggest a couple of things about this series that have helped me. And hopefully this will also pull together some of the strands of this series that have come out of our conversation about our experiences, our conversation about Scripture, our conversations about some parts of the tradition. We haven't really explored the kind of tradition as much as perhaps we could have. So if you have things to offer from your own knowledge of mystical traditions or the early church or anything like that, then that might be something that we can explore in November. But what I'm going to give you this morning is an image and, as I said before, a table. So the image that I think in some ways pulls together a lot of the strands of what we've been looking at, what we've been saying about the Holy Spirit, what we've been saying about the Holy Spirit's gifts, is this idea that I was exploring with the kids of the need to become children again, the need to become like a child, to enter into the kingdom of God. anyone that's been here for a while will know that most of my talks involve me saying I was listening to an episode of a podcast recently. So I was listening, I think this was on the Liturgist podcast. It was entitled Scrupulosity. That's a great title, isn't it? And it was an interview with the musician-songwriter Audrey Assad. And she talked about how in the church that she grew up with, there was this strong link between your behavior and your belief and whether you belonged to that community or not. And some very strict requirements in terms of belief and behavior, the kind of strictness that created a real hypervigilance for her growing up about her behavior, even kind of policing her own thought life and her own internal life. I mean, firstly, it made me, that podcast episode made me think about the ways in which that is the case in our community. What might be ways that we feel like we need to police our own behavior and thought life to feel safe in this community. What unfair behaviors and beliefs we might expect or demand of other people in this community. But the main thing I wanted to just mention today was that she asked the question, what behavior should be rewarded in a church? I thought that was an amazing question. What kinds of behavior should be rewarded in a church? And I don't know what springs to mind for you, but the three things that she mentioned were vulnerability about our fears, and the depth to which our questions and fears go, empathy, and the bravery of being your true self. Those are the kinds of behaviors that should be rewarded. And she said that really these are the qualities that we so often see in children. They're socialized out of us pretty quickly, but these qualities of vulnerability, empathy, and authenticity, the bravery of just being who you are and not apologizing for it, is these are characteristics of children until they are socialized out of them. And it got me thinking about the number of qualities that we might associate with children. We don't want to romanticize them too much, but the number of qualities we might associate with children that are the kinds of qualities that the Holy Spirit wants to bring out of us through the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives. I was also listening to Brian McLaren on Nomad. And he said this amazing thing about our habit of looking to older, straight, white men to give us a sense of what God is like. And he said, where we should be looking to see the shape of God emerging from the future towards us is to children. Not to old men, that God comes to us in the form of children to show us the new things that God is doing. And if we're not looking to children, if we're not orienting ourselves to children and seeking to have them as our models in so many ways of how we should behave, then we're missing God. We're missing the Holy Spirit. And then, of course, there's the mandatory Richard Rohr quote. It's always good to have two in a morning, isn't it, Daph? So for those playing at home, I'll just read it out for you. The indwelling spirit is this ability of humanity to keep going, to keep recovering from its wounds, to keep hoping. One thing we love so much about young children is their indomitable hope, curiosity, and desire to grow. Yeah, those three things again. Their indomitable hope, that's what Lani mentioned, curiosity, and their desire to grow. They fall down, and soon they're all smiles again. Another generation is going to try again to live life to the fullest. But all too often, by the time they're 60, they don't smile so much. And we ask, what happened between 6 and 60? I see it as a loss of spirit. Because if you trust that the Holy Spirit is alive within you, you will keep on despite every setback. Now, obviously, with a quote like this, we need to be careful about kind of shaming us if we feel like we can't keep going. And that's not his point. His point is not get up and keep going. He's talking to communities, not individuals. And in talking to communities, he's saying that, to my mind, when people fall down and can't get up again, it's not their responsibility to drag themselves to their feet, but it's our responsibility as a community to gather around each other, to help each other, to be a place of hope, to be a place where there are always those who will stand with you until you can get up and keep moving forward. So please don't read this as a kind of victim blaming, shaming kind of quote. It's all about community and not individuals. So essentially, I think kids, again, not wanting to romanticize them too much, but they embody so much of what this series has been about, of the things the Holy Spirit is leading us to, the habits that help us to be open to that leading, vulnerability, empathy, authenticity and honesty, hope, curiosity, the desire to grow. I'm sure you could add other things. This is the last thing I want to say about kids is that we need to also remember the status of children in Jesus' time. Kids have a much higher status in our culture, but in Jesus' time, they weren't really fully human. Children were seen as more like potential human beings rather than actual human beings. So it makes what Jesus is saying much more radical. I'd like to invite two tall men to come forward. Any tall men would like to come forward? You don't have to be that tall. Someone's pointing at Russell. Warwick, thank you. Yes, Keegan and Warwick. Perfect. Keegan's even got a kind of slightly Middle Eastern vibe going, so that's perfect. We're just going to do a little bit of theatre, but it's all right, it's silent theatre. And Tilly, you need to come up too. I warned Tilly, I didn't warn Keegan and Warwick. Tilly, you want to come up? Yeah, just don't have her turn. I just want to show you physically what happened in this conversation between the disciples. Let's go back to the passage, the disciples and Jesus. So they come up close to me. So they're coming up to me, and because I'm Jesus, of course. And they're saying to me, who's the greatest? So we've got this little triangle, there may be a few more men, this little huddle of grown men discussing who's important, discussing the important things, the grown-up things. And Jesus says to these men, take a couple of steps back. And then he invites a child into the center. So when you think about this series, I want you to think about that transition. Because I think that is at the heart of what the Holy Spirit is doing everywhere and at all times and in all communities. Let's see it again in slow motion. A bit closer. Three men having really important conversations. Take a step back. You notice that Jesus places the child in, Jesus doesn't say, you know, places the child in the center. Jesus is also outside the center. Thanks. That's my image for us of what I think the Holy Spirit wants to do, wants to make tall men take a couple of steps back and wants to put people whose voices are so often not heard but who are the image of the kingdom of God to step into the center. That's why it just seems so appropriate. Firstly, that it was Lucy's birthday yesterday. I forgot to mention that. Happy birthday, Lucy. But also appropriate that it was Intersex Awareness Day yesterday, because I think in our culture at this time, if Jesus was to come back and was to do this, tell this story, to have his disciples saying to him, who's the most important, it probably wouldn't be a child that he would place into the center, because children have so much status in our society now. It's more likely to be someone from the intersex community that Jesus would place in the center and say, you want to be great? You want to be important? You want to be close to God? Take a step back and allow this person to be in the center. I think that's the work of the Holy Spirit. So I promised you a table. Here it is. So I'm sure you could add other things to this, and I'd invite you to add other things to this table as we explore what the Holy Spirit is moving us towards and what the Holy Spirit is moving us away from in this series. But I thought this was a start. Asha finds it funny, so it must have worked. just before I read it too, for those playing at home, the idea is not that there is no place for the things on the away from side. We're not saying there's no place for our internalized old white man. We're not saying there's no place for spectacle. We're not saying there's no place for any of these things. We're just talking about what the Holy Spirit tends to move people towards. So I'll just quickly read it, but I will post it for those listening to the podcast, so don't worry if I move too quickly. So towards the Holy Spirit in all and away from hierarchy, towards inclusiveness, away from exclusiveness, towards transformation, away from transaction, towards we, away from I, towards flow, away from stuckness, towards our inner child, away from our internalized old white man, towards vulnerability and risk, away from shame and control, towards the tentative, away from certainty, towards authenticity and away from conformity, towards humility, away from grandiosity, towards peace and stillness, away from spectacle and frenzy, towards being embodied and away from being superhuman, towards an acceptance of mess and away from a demand for perfection, towards listening and asking and away from talking and telling, towards finding the extraordinary in the ordinary and away from depending on the extraordinary. Is there any thoughts on that? Anything that I've missed, do you think, that we definitely need to add? I've got a pencil so I can write them down.
An openness rather than a closed set way of thinking about our potential. Yeah, that what you are now isn't everything that you can achieve. There's openness in that for you to build on something more.
Openness, that's beautiful. It reminds me of that idea of the prophetic imagination, you know, that Walter Brueggemann, the American Bible scholar, talks about the fact that the prophet is there to try to break open the closed form of imagination that contains a society in an empire, to crack it open so that new things can emerge. And so that happens at an individual level as well. Yeah, thank you.
I don't really know how to condense it into a nice, snappy two-column format, but sort of away from the idea of thinking that the Spirit only comes from outside and externally, and wanting the Spirit to sort of come in and change things from the outside as opposed to moving and then moving towards recognizing the presence of the Spirit in us and the community and everyone that's here, and that being as important and as miraculous as seeing something supernatural, in inverted commas, come from sort of outside.
Thanks, Alan. That's right. Yeah, that's right. I want, no, not you, that other child. Come and stand in the centre.
Close to inclusiveness, but I think there's a lot more nuance to it, towards accessibility as opposed to inaccessibility for people of all abilities and, yeah, everywhere. Yep.
Can someone else write those down? As they come up? Did anyone remember? Tamsin's doing it. Thanks, Tamsin. Oh, no, you're just checking a message. Sorry, my mistake. That's a beautiful one. Thank you. Yeah, accessible. And it's also such an embodied idea as well. Inclusive and exclusive can be so abstract, but accessible and inaccessible are such fantastically embodied words. Thank you. Like I say, you have lots more time, especially if you're an introvert or one of those people that needs to process, to think over the next 2 weeks about whether there are other ways that you'd like to frame what you feel like the Holy Spirit is drawing us towards in this series and away from. And I'm conscious of the time, so we might leave it there. But yeah, keep thinking. And I'll post all of this stuff so you can reflect on it. Just a couple of things to finish. It occurred to me as I was preparing this talk that what we've been doing through this whole series is shifting the conversation about the Holy Spirit away from a focus on gifts and towards a focus on kind of the values and the purpose behind those gifts. It reminded me of something I was listening to a while ago. I do read as well, but yeah, something I was listening to a while ago on the evolution of sex education, especially within church communities, and the way it used to be so much focused on do's and don'ts and on, you know, particular behaviours that were okay and particular behaviours that were not okay. And the shift now towards values, towards a focus on things like consent and respect rather than on this is what you can do and this is what you can't do, and the other person remains an object in that process. And I feel like what we're endeavouring to do or feel our way towards in this series is the same kind of shift away from do's and don'ts, away from gifts as an end in themselves, towards the values that underlie the reason those gifts are given. If someone's given a hammer and someone's given a screwdriver and someone's given a drill, someone's given a drop saw, someone's given a spirit level, see what I did there, to just focus on which is the better gift or trying to get a bigger spirit level is somewhat to miss the point. But if you use all of those together to build something, that's the point. And I feel like that's what we're moving towards in this series on the Spirit, to go, what's the Holy Spirit trying to build here? And what gifts do I have to contribute to that thing, that process? And I guess that's the question that we need to come back to in November, but to keep coming back to. What are we trying to build here? What's the Holy Spirit trying to build here? What's the Holy Spirit trying to do here? And what gifts do I have as an individual to contribute to that? And what gifts do I see in others? Perhaps others that might not feel like they have anything to offer that I can encourage them to offer. I want to finish with one vision of perhaps what it is that the Holy Spirit is trying to do here. I think this might be my fourth podcast reference for the day. That could be a record. It's a, I was listening to two activists on being sort of talking about some dinners. To my shame, I can't remember the details of that project, but they referred to a poem written by Mickey Scott Bay Jones called "Invitation to Brave Space." It's a beautiful poem. Mickey Scott Bay Jones is a justice doula. I love that term. For those that haven't had a baby, a doula is someone that helps to deliver the baby, like an unofficial midwife. So she's a justice doula. So she's trying to help justice be given birth. Yes. The People's Supper. Thank you. Yes, the People's Supper. Hopefully that's something that will start happening here. Maybe it is already. It's bringing people from different parts of the political spectrum and people that represent different sectors of society in many ways together to have meals together. So she's a womanist, contemplative activist, a healer, a non-violent director, an action organiser, a consultant. She's a wonderful person. She's got lots of stuff on YouTube that you can watch as well. But I'm just going to read this. I'm going to read it once and then I'll invite you to come forward for communion, and then I'll read it again as a prayer as we share communion together. So this is her poem, "Invitation to Brave Space." Together, I'll give it to you up here. Oh, it's there, thank you. Holy Spirit, aka Warwick and Sarah. Oh, Sarah in this case. Holy Spirit shifts around. Together, we will create brave space, because there is no such thing as safe space. We exist in the real world. We all carry scars and we have all caused wounds. In this space, we seek to turn down the volume of the outside world. We amplify voices that fight to be heard elsewhere. We call each other to more truth and love. We have the right to start somewhere and continue to grow. We have the responsibility to examine what we think we know. We will not be perfect. This space will not be perfect. It will not always be what we wish it to be, but it will be our brave space together, and we will work on it side by side. So for those who are new, our practice here with communion is just to come forward, as we say in our Safe Church statement, even though there are no safe spaces, is that you are welcome here, whatever you believe or don't believe. So there is no test of belief to make you worthy to come forward and share in this meal with us. So if you would like to, if anyone would like to, we welcome you and invite you to come up and take a little piece of cracker and a little cup of juice. And then when we've all got one and we're standing in a kind of loose but not perfect circle, I will read the poem again and we can eat and drink. So I'll invite you forward. Let's pray together. Loving God, together we will create brave space here, because there is no such thing as a safe space. We exist in the real world. We all carry scars. We have all caused wounds. In this space, we seek to turn down the volume of the outside world. We amplify voices that fight to be heard elsewhere. We call each other to more truth and love. We have the right to start somewhere and to continue to grow. We have the responsibility to examine what we think we know. We will not be perfect. This space will not be perfect. It will not always be what we wish it to be, but it will be our brave space together, and we will work on it side by side. Amen. Let's eat and drink. What we do need to add is an embracing of abundance, towards abundance and away from scarcity. Amen. Speaking of abundance, don't forget next week is breakfast at church, so don't come here. Sign up on Facebook or send me an email. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday.